Welcome, everybody. This is the beginning of a lengthy public forum session, and this is a part that I think many of us really look forward to during the week, and be able to get some serious interaction going. As part of the sort of tweaking of the process of scheduling and reporting and interacting, we've added a portion here that we had said we were going to do, which is to tell you what we, the board, have heard during the week. It's impossible to do a total job of capturing everything that was said and even of everything that we heard, a lot of which... And there's records, of course, of all the meetings. But so treat this as a bit of an experiment to be evolved and improved. But we've been very attentive throughout all the different meetings, and we have gathered that together. And we'll feed that back. Before we get into all of that, we're also using this session for conveying a lot of the thank yous and appreciations, recognition that we had put into the Friday morning board meeting, just to take a moment to emphasize the point. There are many, many more people here than usually come to a Friday morning board meeting. So the only advantage of the Friday morning board meeting is that they were formal resolutions that are passed. We actually will do that. So we will read the resolutions. The resolutions will get passed at the next board meeting in July. So before going into any of that, I want to turn things over to Rod for a short tribute to the fellowship program's fifth-year anniversary.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Greetings to all. It's such a pleasure to be with you here today, celebrating the fifth anniversary of the ICANN Fellowship Program, which started in San Juan in June of 2007. The fellowship program was created to build a broader base of knowledgeable constituents and to help build capacity among our volunteers by reaching out to less developed regions of the world. Since that first gathering of fellows 5 years ago, almost 2,000 individuals have applied for the program. Nearly 600 met the program requirements, and 368 have successfully completed the program. Within these alumni are government representatives in the GAC, registry operators, and members of the CCNSO, active participants in the GNSO and at large, as well as members of SSAC and the nominating committee. One alumnus here today was a member of the original San Juan program and now is a member of the Fellowship Selection Committee as she continues to remain active in ICANN and the program, Tatiana Chirev from .MD, Moldova. Let's give her a hand. Here she is. I'm glad to see so many fellowship alumni with us here today. As the alumni demonstrate, fellows have the opportunity to become involved within ICANN as they wish. And we hope that you'll wish to be involved as well. Simply put, ICANN could not function or exist without our volunteers. I'd like to take this opportunity to call on each of the attending fellowship alumni to stand when I call their names to accept a round of applause when all have been acknowledged. So please hold your applause to the end. I will share a bit of information about several candidates to show how they found their niche in the ICANN community and became the new voice of experience in their region. Sarmad Hussain, Professor, University of Engineering and Technology in Pakistan. Sarmad, can you please stand? Please hold your applause until the end. He started at the New Delhi meeting, led the IDN Wiki initiative in his country after meeting Tina Dam there, and now is a member of SSAC and various working groups. Gabi Slick, ODR Regional Program Director. Please stand, Gabi. Thank you. At the Latin American E-Commerce Institute, ILCE, Argentina. A dispute resolution lawyer who started her fellowship and ICANN experience in Cartagena, where she helped me with my United Nations speech, which followed 2 weeks later, in fact. And after starting at the at-large, recently became a member of the business constituency. Fad Bataine. Fad, there we are. CCTLD and IDN CCTLD manager of .jo, Jordan. Started his ICANN journey in Paris and is now fully engaged in internet governance and various CCNSO working groups. Tracy Hackshaw, my fellow singer in Hey Jude, Music Night. In addition, team lead and chief solution architect at National ICT Company Limited, iGovTT. Became the GAC technical rep from Trinidad and Tobago after entering the fellowship and ICANN at the Seoul meeting and recognizing that this representation was missing. Tracy now serves on several working groups within the GAC. Serena Telonu. Serena, from Romania. She came to her first ICANN meeting and fellowship in Brussels, where she became interested in representing Romania in the GAC, and by her next fellowship in Cartagena, was in a process of being seated. Hao Mosu. Hao? From Botswana. Started her ICANN story in Los Angeles. I'm not sure whether to use the English or the Spanish pronunciation. I'm really confused.
Are you okay?
We'll attribute history. Los Angeles. And again in Nairobi, because we're an international forum. And again in Nairobi. Kao is very active in the Botswana Information Technology Society, BITS, in which she is the Secretary General, active in the ICT industry of Botswana, and instrumental in setting up the ICT cluster for the Botswana Innovation Hub, where she's project officer in the Marketing and Communications Office. Sirenush Vardanyan, from Armenia. The Program Development Director at Habitat for Humanity Armenia and was previously an ISOC ambassador. She started as a fellow in New Delhi, became a member of At-Large, and is currently serving on NAMCOM. Thank you. Victor Nongang, Cameroon. Victor. Not only one of the best tweeters in the ICANN community, he joined the fellowship community family in Dakar. He's an IT consultant, self-employed, and also Secretary General, founding member of the Internet Society Cameroon chapter, ISOC Cameroon. He recently organized an event for World IPv6 launch that was a great success and led to the creation of the multi-stakeholder IPv6 Task Force Cameroon in order to supervise the smooth IPv4 to IPv6 migration in his country. Now let's give a round of applause for all of them. All of you stand up. Let's recognize you. In this room full of alumni and future alumni, I know there are and will continue to be many more stories to tell. We're so glad to have you here with us today and willing to participate in the community. The fellowship program will continue to work with the ICANN community to bring more new voices and passion for the growth and success of the Internet into ICANN in the next 5 years and beyond. I hope that you enjoy your days in Prague and at ICANN 44 and look forward to seeing you the rest of today. Thank you all, especially you fellows, because you are a very important part of the future of ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. Thank you, fellows. Excellent. Going to is that Sebastian down there? Hi, Sebastian. Go ahead.
I wanted to concur and thank you, Rod, for these words, and I would like to include the staff who is working hard on setting up this program and helping the students to that. Thank you very much.
good fellowship among the fellowship. Thank you very much. We now move to thank yous to several others, starting with a at-large community volunteer, Devanand Tilak Singh. This is in the form of a formal board resolution, which, as I said, we will pass at the next board meeting. Whereas ICANN wishes to acknowledge the considerable energy and skills that members of the stakeholder community bring to the ICANN process. Whereas in recognition of these contributions, ICANN wishes to acknowledge and thank members of the community when their terms of service on supporting organizations and advisory committees end. Whereas one member of the at-large community has left his position since the Costa Rica meeting, Dev Anand Tilak Singh, Lak Rallo Secretariat from 3 April 2009 until 4 May 2012. Resolved, Dev Anand Tilak Singh has earned the deep appreciation of the board for his term of service, and the board wishes him well in his future endeavors. We have a certificate. I'd like to ask Dev to come wait until the break, and we'll use the time of the break to take a picture and present the certificate. Yes, a round of applause. So that was for about 3 years' worth of service. Here's another guy who served about 3 years. So thank you to Rod Beckstrom. Whereas Rod A. Beckstrom was elected by the ICANN board as ICANN's president and chief executive officer effective 1 July 2009. Whereas Rod concludes his term as president and chief executive officer and member of the board of directors on 1 July 2012. When is that? That's Sunday, right?
Sunday.
Yes.
Exactly.
Whereas under Rod's leadership, ICANN made significant progress on strategic objectives, including DNS stability and security, increased competition, consumer trust and consumer choice, core operations including IANA, and a healthy internet governance ecosystem. Whereas his progress included strong growth in DNSSEC adoption and expansion of LRoot instances, the launch of the new GTLD program, increased adoption of IDNs, growth in membership in ICANN organizations, and increased international outreach. Whereas during Rod's term as chief executive officer, important steps were taken that will enable future innovation and expansion, establishing a lasting legacy of contributions to the global unified internet. Whereas Rod, during his term as CEO, Rod served as member of the ICANN board as well as a member of the board executive committee and a member of the new GTLD program committee. Resolved, Rod has earned the deep appreciation of the board for his term of service as president, CEO, and member of the board of directors, and the board wishes Rod well in all future endeavors. Join me in a round of applause. We have a similar certificate for Rod, which we've already presented him.
Much to say, but thank you all very much. It's truly been a pleasure and an honor to serve, and a remarkable experience that I'm grateful to all of you for. And I look forward to being finished with my responsibilities, which I will be this Sunday. So thank you very much.
Good. The next set of thank yous are not in the form of resolutions, but they will be when we put them into the board. The thanks to the sponsors. The board wishes to thank the following sponsors: VeriSign Incorporated, Affilius Limited, .org, the Public Interest Registry, Newstar, China Organizational Name Administration Center, URID, Iron Mountain, China Network Information Center, Uniform SA, doing business as .za Central Registry, InternetX, Community.asia, Freedom Registry Incorporated, Key Drive SA, .clubs Domain LLC, Granzy SRO, AFNIC, CloudNames, CentralNIC, SX Registry, Uniregistry Corp, and ICANN Wiki, and our local sponsors, Dial Telecom. Please join me in a round of applause for all of these sponsors. The next is the thanks to the scribes, interpreters, staff, event, and hotel teams. You have no idea how much goes on behind the scenes to make this all work. The board expresses its appreciation to the scribes, the interpreters, technical teams, and to the entire ICANN staff for their efforts in facilitating the smooth operation of the meeting. The board would also like to thank the management and staff of the Hilton Prague Hotel for the wonderful facility to hold this event. Special thanks are given to Daniela Koborova, Group Services Coordinator, and Martin Musil, Group Services Coordinator. Please join me in a round of applause. And the thanks to the local host. The board wishes to extend its thanks to the local host organizer, CZ.NIC, for their support. Special thanks are given to Andre Philip, CEO, Pavel Tuma, Director of Marketing and Communications, Michaela Viternova, Marketing Specialist, CZNIC, and the entire CZNIC staff. The board also extends thanks to Mr. Martin Kuba, Minister of Industry and Trade for the Czech Republic, for his support and participation during the meeting. Again, another round of applause. Thank you.
And I just want to add on that, what a spectacular gala last night. Thank you, Andre and team, so much. Amazing.
I'd never seen dancing on stilts like that before. I'm thrilled, and as I tried to say humorously, that's yet another way to uplift the organization and provide a way of wading through some deep water sometime. I'd like to see more of that here. All right. That is phase one, in essence, and we now move into the new part of the program where we try to provide some feedback for what we heard during the week and provide some time for interaction. So the structure of this is that I will tell you what are some remarks from my opening words and then what we heard in each of several areas and then take interactions as we go through that. So from things that I said at the beginning, I mentioned that the new GTLD program brings pressure on the organization focused on and hence we need to be focused on tight control of expenses, careful evolution of the organizational structure within the staff, work with the GNSO in the cases that there may be or adjustments necessary. I also said we need to be focused on substantive cooperation with law enforcement community and other parts of government and cooperation from registrar and registry community and to encourage meaningful and thoughtful dialogue there, not just pro forma. Need to be mindful about the costs and resources required with the recommendations of reviews, and we'll go through full public comment for each of the review processes, ATRT next time, the who is that has come in, SSRT, and so forth, and do a proper management process for understanding resources and feasibility, as well as the value judgments that have to go in. And the value judgments, of course, start with a public comment process. I've emphasized the impact that the GTLD program will have on organization. There's also, of course, the proper stewardship of the funds received, management of the expenses, but in terms of disposition of funds and reporting, a very visible process will be followed, full accounting and reporting over time. So those were things we said at the outset. Here's various points that were heard and acknowledged during the course of the week. I'm trying to distinguish between notes to me versus things I'm supposed to say to you here. So one is the ICANN structure after the new GTLDs. It's a key issue. Various GNSO groups are studying it regarding both the GNSO and regarding the ICANN generally. What are we going to do? We'd like each community group, sporting organization, or advisory committee to prepare a page of notes. Page means one. On the impact on their structure and ICANN. So we're looking for, without the preamble and without lengthy justifications or background, the points to focus on so that we can begin a meaningful discussion of all that. So that means short, pointed, and timely. We will hold an open session in Toronto. I'm going to come back to all, so I'm going to read through all of these and then we'll come back for questions. On communications, we heard that we need to come to the community for input, advice, and help, that communication issues have come up multiple times in many different forms. And what we need to do about this is we need to do better, of course, and we will work to distill the many disparate messages that we have heard across this whole spectrum into a clearer and sharper picture of different facets so we can take specific actions. This session is a piece of that process. This session is an example of how we're working to improve the communications. On the topic of the register accreditation agreement, we heard very nicely, congratulations from some on the progress, but of course a few significant issues are still outstanding, most particularly who is verification and data retention. There are a few other structural issues regarding the changing marketplace created by the vertical integration and methods for changing the agreement. And also a significant amount of discussion from parts of our community about privacy issues. Some disparity of points of view about to what extent, when law enforcement requests are involved, there is also a balancing with privacy matters. And we heard in some cases, from some people, a concern that privacy people were not in the room, and a concern, a counter statement from the GAC. Of course they're in the room. That's our job to balance these things, and so it's interesting to hear all of that. So the actions that we'll take in that area are the consideration of the GAC offer for advice from privacy considerations from privacy authorities, facilitation of further discussion regarding pending issues with various stakeholder groups, and that the staff will continue negotiations with registrars to attempt to generate a new draft agreement before the Toronto meeting, and I hope well before the Toronto agreement. Moving on to the issue of ethics and conflicts of interest, we heard questions about what sanctions or legal steps could be taken against directors or staff after they leave the organization, and questions about policies in place for the staff. What we're going to do is we're going to wait till the end of the public comment period, which is in progress. That comment period ends 28 July, which is exactly 1 month from now. And we will publish documents incorporating recommendations for public review and approve any changes by Toronto. In the area of a who is review, we heard varying views on the recommendations from implement all of the recommendations to implement none of them. It was actually quite striking to hear quite diverse recommendations. We also asked the community what aspects of the report should be subject to a policy development process and which should be treated as implementation. And the responses varied from treating it all as implementation, treating most of it as policy development topic. So, again, a range of inputs. What we're going to do is we're going to encourage public input on the final report, as I've emphasized more than once, and on the recommendations, and request that all of the SOs and ACs provide input to the board by 31 August this year, that is 2 months from now. The board has asked the CEO to consider the public comment and community input, to assess the recommendations and other WHOIS-related proposals under discussion, to evaluate the feasibility of and the potential implementation paths for each recommendation, and provide us with guidance and advice on the report. We've asked the staff, and I want you to hear the organization of this next phrasing. We've asked the staff to tell us by 31 July the date by which they will provide the guidance and advice. So this is a two-step process. What we want is the guidance from staff on the feasibility. We don't know exactly how long it will take to do that, and so rather than setting a date certain for that, we've set a date certain for a crisp, not only estimate, but commitment to provide that advice. Excuse me. On the planning cycle, we heard there's too many priorities and projects, there's a lack of measurable goals, that the cycle is not conducive to providing useful input. So the actions include that the cycle needs to change. There seems to be consensus that the main problem is on the ops plan comment and reply timing, and staff is working on suggesting some changes to timing to fix this. And in passing, we note that the comment and reply cycle is not working as effectively as it should, and we're looking at that as well. That is, I mention that as in passing simply because there's sort of two things that are intertwined here. One is the planning cycle, and the other is, in general, the whole comment-reply process. And in the previous session here in ATRT implementation, we heard a lot more about that. On the subject of Internet governance, we heard that ICANN needs to be engaged at WICCAT at the in the appropriate way. We need a coherent strategy needs to be developed within ICANN regarding Internet governance issues. And we, as an action, are continuing to work with staff on strategy. We'd be happy to have more discussion about that. On the subject of application funds received, we heard it's not ICANN's money. When will applicants get their money back? What will happen with auction funds? What are we going to do about all that? I'm sad to tell you we're not going to give you the money back. We're going to recognize that we are stewards of this money, for sure. We acknowledge the questions, but it's too early in the application process to consider exactly what the action is going to be. When we have a better understanding of the financial picture, we will carefully consider and consult and report, and I come back to what I said at the beginning, that we will have a full and careful process about dealing with the funds. There's way too many risks and uncertainties for us to make decisions different from what we have made before. On the questions of batching, I'm going to pass this to Shireen Chalabi, chair of our new GTLD program committee.
Thank you, Steve. I will report on two subjects, batching and IOC stroke Red Cross. First, before I report, I'd like to really thank, on behalf of the board, thank everyone here in the room for your input and your ideas. Thank the SOs and ACs. I would also like to thank all of you who wrote letters to us with your thoughts. They have been read and considered. And I would like very much to thank the GAC for your engagement on this issue. Now I'd like to report on batching. I will report in two sections. First, what we heard. I'll try and summarize this. And then, what are we going to do about it? What we heard, I have 6 points. First, that the solution has to be equitable. Second, that the evaluation results have to be announced at the same time. Third, that successful applications should proceed to delegation phase without undue delays. Fourth, Delegation to the root must be at a smooth rate and must not exceed 1,000 per year. Fifth, the GAC is planning to issue early warnings shortly after the Toronto ICANN meeting in October 2012. And sixth, the GAC advice on contentious applications is not expected to be finalized before the Beijing meeting in April 2013. Now I'd like to tell you what we're going to do about batching. First, there'll be no digital archery. And just to inform you, the new GTLD committee met yesterday and passed a resolution, which I'll read to you and is posted on the website. I hopefully it's posted by now. And it says, the new GTLD program committee directs the president and CEO to terminate the digital archery process. Second of the things we're going to do, we will evaluate all applications and move them to the next phase as soon as practical. Third, we will not make a decision in Prague, but we will take all of your ideas into account and build a roadmap. The roadmap will detail the next steps and timelines, assess implications to applicants, assess risk to the program. We will open an applicant comments process and provide opportunity for community input. We have set a new GTLD program committee call in approximately 3 weeks' time to assess progress and report back to the community. So those are my comments and report back to you on batching. I would now like to report back to you on the IOC and Red Cross. First, what we heard in Prague. We heard some assertions that the new GTLD program committee had rejected GNSO recommendations on further protection at the top level for IOC and Red Cross. This is not the case. The new GTLD program committee determined on the 10th of April 2012 not to make changes to the applicant guidebook at that time. We also heard here in Prague from the GAC that the board should consider protections for these organizations at the top level and at the second level. And now we should tell you what we're going to do about it. The new GTLD program committee met yesterday and passed two resolutions. The first resolution, ICANN denied the IOC reconsideration request 12.1, and the second resolution, ICANN instructed staff to review and report back on all inputs that have been provided on this issue, including previous public comment period, community input in Prague, additional input from the IOC and Red Cross, status of GNSO work following board decision, and GAC inputs, if any. I believe these resolutions will be posted today if they haven't been posted already. Thank you. Back to you, Steve.
Thank you very much, Shireen. I want to thank both fellow board members and staff for quite a lot of work that went on while we tried to gather this information, compile it, and be prepared to come back in a pretty quick cycle here. As I said before, this is our first time trying to do this. I think we did pretty well. It would not surprise me if we've missed something or didn't get it exactly right, and we want to hear about all that. It's probably more important, however, to hear what you have to say on the substance of these issues. So let me open for discussion. Come to the microphone on any of these topics. We have different board members and, in some cases, staff ready to respond on whatever topics, whatever elements of these topics that you want to bring up. And I'm surprised there's not already a long line.
Are you surprised to see me?
I'm only pleased to see you.
Okay. Just one question, Steve. You just said that you only want comments on the substance of these issues and not on the
Sorry,
procedure.
Say your name, please. It's Sorry. Sébastien Bachelet speaking, because if not, nobody will have your name on the screen. Thank you.
Amadeu Abrili Abril. First in line for alphabetical order. Steve, I was asking, you said that you only want comments now on the substance of these issues and not on the procedures, because I had some comments to start on, I would say, accountability and transparency and some accidents we had and how to handle that in the future. Is that inappropriate? It's your choice. I mean, I don't...
Sorry. We have a more general session with various topics where we've accumulated issues that had come in before, just to look ahead, and we'll do this after the break, which comes up after the session. IPv6 support by registries and registrars, who is team final report, renewal of the .com agreement, balancing of capacity of volunteers and ICANN staff versus the workload and demands, globalization of ICANN, new GTLDs, and any other business. I think the right thing to do here is to stay focused on the report that we've given just now, and then we will find time in the after the break in the full session to
okay.
take this up.
I take note on that then. I reserve those comments for later. And I only a personal note to start with for the scribe, just to note that Mr. Amadeu Abrili Abril did not join the round of applause and thanks to Mr. Rob Beckstrom, because I can be hypocritical, but only to a certain point. Now, the question I have for Shireen, you said that you heard from everybody, or that the main message you got is that the results for the evaluation should be published at the same time. I guess you mean the initial evaluation. Is that correct? And second, probably you heard also, at least for some people, the reverse, in the sense that probably trying to create artificial queues at the very beginning is not very useful, in the sense that what we need is rate limitation at the end of the stage. This is the one we cannot escape, which is the root. So if we hold some people that are early in the process can move to the next phase, which is still not the rate, but we wait for everybody to be in step one at the end to go to step two, and then everybody to complete step two to go to step three, we will not solve the problem of natural limitation or lateral, you know, bumping of different groups in different speeds, which is one of the goals we need, because we cannot have 1,400 applications waiting to enter in the route at the same day. Could you clarify that, please?
Thank you.
Sorry. Evaluation, yes. We meant initial evaluation. But I really do not want to discuss here the design of the solution, because we said we will take all input and we will do it after Prague calmly with a lot of consideration, and we will take the comments from the public as well and the applicants. So I appreciate not design it here, please.
Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Jeff Newman. I'm here to ask a question in my personal capacity, and then one as the drafting team chair of the IOC and Red Cross drafting team. The first part is that, you know, the GNSO community is a very diverse community, and one that has not always agreed on everything that's come out of it. I think the one thing that I've certainly heard that we've agreed on is that many of us feel like the original decision on the IOC Red Cross was a mistake by the board, that it went around and circumvented the GNSO. And I hope that we do not repeat that mistake again. This is an issue of policy and not implementation, and that anything that, so I know that the resolution you've passed asks for advice or staff to collate everything that's been done, but no matter what is involved in that collation and no matter what you all do in the next step, you cannot or should not circumvent the GNSO process again, and that this is a matter of policy. And with that, I'm going to ask my question is, what exactly does that resolution mean, as I am the chair of the drafting team, and I'd like to have some sort of guidance as to my next steps?
Well, I'll take you very briefly back through the recent history of the decision, and then I'll tell you what this decision means. On 26th of March, the GNSO made a recommendation for further top-level protection, right? Mm-hmm. On 10th of April, the new GTLD committee met, acknowledged receipt of this recommendation, but chose at that time not to change the applicant guidebook.
Yeah.
That resolution was published on the 12th of April, and on the 20th of April, the rationale for that resolution was published. On the 14th of April, the public comment period closed. And after that, months later, on the 10th of May, we received a reconsideration request from the IOC. The BGC met on the 1st of June, and the BGC recommended that the reconsideration request is denied because no material identified that was available at the time was not considered by the committee. So the new GTLD committee yesterday met and accepted the recommendation of the BGC of denying this request, but listening to what everybody's saying here, we are going to go back and instruct staff to look at everything since the decision of 10th of April, look at all of the input that came after that from the period where the comments closed, look at new input from the IOC and the Red Cross, consider any input that would come from the GAC, and we are going to look at it again and see what they're going to recommend to us. Full stop.
Thanks. I just want to clarify because I realized from your comments back that I was not clear, and the resolution that I was talking about wasn't the recent one by the board about not accepting the GNSO. What I was referring to was a year ago when the board approved the resolution to provide some protections for the Olympic and Red Cross names. That was the one that the GNSO community believes was a mistake and shouldn't have happened without being first discussed by the GNSO community. So I didn't mean to imply that it was the most recent one. That was the one that we're still waiting for the board rationale to be posted on why it passed that June resolution in Singapore. All of the rationale is actually marked privileged, and is redacted from the board report. So that's what I was referring to, that decision, and not the decision to not accept the GNSO recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Jonathan Zook from the Association for Competitive Technology. There's a rather prominent local author by the name of Franz Kafka, who I think is here in spirit, if not in person, very excited to have him be a part of these meetings. One of the wisest things that he said is, first draw breath after instances or outbursts of either vanity or complacence. And I think that that's appropriate in the context of the batching and some of the discussions about delegation, et cetera. I want to do what is probably very unexpected from me, which is apologize. Because I think this is a situation in which the community failed the staff and failed the board. Because this was really driven home in the commercial stakeholder group meeting and then the commercial stakeholder board meeting, where we came out with the most inane recommendations for batching of delegations, since we've now punted on batching for evaluations because the GAC saved us with their 18-month window. And those recommendations were things like do something that's equitable, as you mentioned. It hardly seems worth 3 hours of time to come up with a recommendation like that. Another recommendation is do what's in the global public interest, which also seems hardly worth the time that was spent on it. And I think that we as a community need to take it back upon ourselves to come up with some really concrete suggestions on how delegation might be batched as we know it needs to be, and to start that process now and not think of ourselves as having a lot of time. So we failed you, and I apologize, because I think this is an area in which we could have made our input much more specific and much more valuable. And we need to take the responsibility for that.
Are you feeling okay?
My name is Werner Staub, board for Core Association. I am happy about the avoidance of digital archery, of course. And I'm happy that they're going to be going to do something about getting comments, and I hope that these comments will not be on systems optimized to prevent indexing by Google or optimized to prevent forwarding of URLs or other measures that prevent transparency, and specifically that the applications would be indexed by Google, which they're currently not. That the comments that are currently in the system would also be indexed by Google, which is currently impossible because there are protections against it. Now, with all that, there is one thing missing, I believe, and that's easy to do. We have the habit of having public comments, usually for big documents. But sometimes a one-line decision, such as there's not going to be digital archery, we're going to tell you what we do next. Okay, it's nice. But we might want to organize a public comment period just on that so people could submit comments and ideas of what to look at, because I think there are many eyes that could identify opportunities for considerable savings of time and avoidance of considerable problem if you just have more people able to make suggestions and the formal way to submit them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, gentlemen, ladies. Paul Foody speaking on my own behalf. The IOC and the Red Cross, aside from my personal bewilderment that IOC is included in the same sort of group as the Red Cross, given that it's predominantly a commercial operation, or it appears to be, if you start giving the protections to those sorts of bodies, or at least to the IOC, where do you stop? But more than that, the fact that a body with the financial resources and the global governmental influence that the IOC has should think that the new GTLD program is at a stage where they need to get protected, not just at the first level, but also at the second, demonstrates that if the new GTLD program is intended to improve the chances that an individual wanting to go to a site gets there, then it surely demonstrates that you've absolutely got it entirely wrong. Thank you.
Thank you. Before taking your question, we have one that's been waiting for a while online.
Thank you, Steve. Phyllis Yilmaz, ICANN staff, reading a question/comment on behalf of Valer Mishenko, NLNet Foundation. Is there any initiative of ICANN to look beyond internal processes and topics related to the community, namely to look what is happening on the market of the internet services? ICANN is quite busy with internal processes and policies and topics related to the surrounding community, but there are no obvious efforts to look beyond that to the outside world, especially at the market. The market and the internet landscape are changing pretty fast. Some changes may even undermine the very existence right of ICANN and the domain name system in general. Is there any intention to analyze and where needed and possibly to steer to steer developments? Thank you.
I'm not sure I know what to do with that question or which of these topics that we outlined here it applies to. Would you like to ask for some clarification, and while we do that, continue with this? Would that be okay, Phyllis? Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Steve. Thanks. Elliot Noss, Two Cows. I would like to tie together two of the topics that we're considering here, digital archery and the IOC Red Cross topic. And I'm going to connect them both to culture, which I plan on talking more about later. I think that for a lot of reasons, so this is not about the why, but that ICANN, especially ICANN staff, have been operating from a culture of defensiveness. And I think we see some of the things that it leads to here. First, with respect to digital archery, that is an incredibly complex design that I myself and a number of us in the community strongly feel was driven by fear of not getting it right. that fear or defensiveness can lead to loads of complexity, which bears down on a system and can often lead to failure. By the way, I think the same applies to TAS. So we can see that fear and defensiveness and the impact it has. And with respect to the IOC and Red Cross, again, I believe that defensiveness or that fear has led to this issue, which is not a trivial issue by any means, but it is one that has been elevated both by that fear and defensiveness and by the external connections, perhaps, to take up so much of the oxygen in the community, significantly disproportionate to the weight of that matter relative to so many of the other things on the agenda. The access, the amount of time it takes up at a GAC level, at a board level, at a GNSO level is really staggering when we step away and look at the issue. So I want that thought out there around fear and defensiveness and culture as it relates to bigger issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir.
Hello. My name is Benedict, and I'm on the law enforcement team that have been negotiating over the RAA amendments and the recommendations to those. And I'd like to, first of all, draw the board's attention to the immense goodwill and good faith and positive progress that there has been on all sides from both ICANN staff and Margie and Kurt on that side, from Bobby Flame, who's been leading the law enforcement delegation, and Matt Serlin and the rest of the registrar negotiating team. We feel that this has been a hugely productive meeting over something that's been stuck for a long time. I wanted to highlight one very important point, which I know some members of the board will find very close to their hearts, that the law enforcement and law enforcement's legitimate needs are wholly compatible with the privacy of internet users worldwide. That point hasn't been made clearly enough, and I need to make it here and publicly to the board. And the last point I want to say is the conversations that I've had, I've changed my mind about half a dozen times on implementation issues. We're still, as we've explained, have some way to go on the last two points on data validation and the who is, and data collection across different jurisdictions and hugely varying requirements, but we're getting there. I've had extraordinary conversations here with a huge variety of stakeholders that have changed my mind a number of times and as a result have fed into the position of the law enforcement team. That wouldn't be possible without this fantastic multi-stakeholder model we have here, and that's a testament to ICANN. So thank you all, and thank you for being part of the process.
Thank you very much. Before we continue, I'll come back to Phyllis.
Thank you, Steve. Phyllis Yilmaz, ICANN staff, reading a comment on behalf of Evan Lebovich, Vice Chair ALAC. I wish to thank the board for finally delivering a clear message on the Red Cross IOC issue. I believe you have taken the right decision, and I think many in the at large community would agree.
Thank you. And was there more from the prior one? No. Thank you. Sir.
Thank you. My name is Isam Abul Khairat from Libya. I'm speaking on my own capacity, personal capacity. My first question goes to Mr. Shirin. The batching process itself is not clear and ambiguous and vague. But when you say that you will process it in a way of as soon as practical, I think you added more complexity to the issue because I didn't really understand what is as soon as practical means to the board or means to the community. It's not really clear. And my second question is the relationship between ICANN and the ITU is... Maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's fragile. And there's no really communication channels that can really make the contribution of ICANN in the WCIT significant. But is there any mechanism or roadmap that the ICANN put in place in order to make it significant and make it really productive, the contribution of ICANN into the process of WCIT? Thank you.
Thank you. We obviously are paying a lot of attention to that. I'm not sure we have answers that satisfy everybody. Anybody else want to come in on that? Okay. Dot Ivory.
Thank you. Ivory Doria, .gay LLC, and a member of NCSG. I wanted to, when you first spoke of the balance between privacy finally being mentioned and discussed in some of the issues and law enforcement, I was fairly satisfied with the balance, but then all of a sudden it started to feel to me like it became unbalanced, not by anything that you have said, but I think that when we talk about the legitimacy of law enforcement, we're talking about law enforcement in places we're rather comfortable with and in some. But not all law enforcement behaves legitimately. If you take legitimacy as having been defined by things like the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and such. So I think we need to be careful when we think about legitimacy, what it means. For a country to make a law within its own country, they can call that legitimate, even if that law contravenes most, if not all, international standards. And I'll probably talk more about this when we get to the who is issues later on. Also, in addition, I was as an NCSG member, I sort of marveled at law enforcement being here and saying they've talked to all the stakeholders. As far as I know, in all my years here in NCSG and NCUC, we've never talked to a law enforcement. Law enforcement has never come and gotten our perspective on the need for privacy and the need for protections. So I'd just like to add that note to the to the content here. Thank you.
Thank you. Olivier.
Yes, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, ELAC Chair. This afternoon, you're going to hear several comments that are going to be made either via Phillies and the website or by ELAC members in person. I just wanted to make it clear that these are not ELAC statements. They're not formally endorsed. They are, they're personal views which reflect the views of many of our members, but we didn't go through a ratification process for these. We don't have enough time to consult 144 ALSs out there. If you're willing to fund 144 ALSs for them to come and vote on these, then we're more than happy for that. But at the moment, we can't do this. So they're just personal statements which reflect a broad view among our members, just to make sure.
So if I translate that, it's you want to be transparent in saying you're not accountable.
Not at all. We are accountable, but we are accountable within the limits that we're able to be accountable in. If the limits are not provided and are not reasonable, then, of course, we cannot be accountable. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Naresh Ajwani, and this is more than being transparent and accountable, it is about actionable. So I will be speaking from the perspective of that what actionable is required, because somewhere I feel that last 2 years I have been hearing that there is an intent to broad-base ICANN. But when I see the new process of adding constituency, the new thought has not been there that the new additional segments or constituencies or internet users are the ones where we have to approach them, they can't approach us. I think the process of seeking new constituency is something which has to be done from the people who are new to ICANN. And in case we can change that approach and that thought, that instead of they coming to us, if we go to them would be more appropriate, then we are really doing a true broad basing of ICANN. My request to the entire board would be kindly look and analyze if you really want to broad base, whom you want to add on. Have we considered the intermediaries who are responsible for getting internet access through shared PC concepts or public internet kiosk. In case we want to really bring them into our fold, then we have to approach them instead of they approaching us. Thank you.
Thank you. The queue seems to be empty.
You'll pay well.
I'm speechless.
By popular request. No, just two things I haven't said before, because I thought they were evident, perhaps they're not. The first thing is, sorry, Amadeu Abril, the same name as before. I change names less often than the board change opinions, or not very often. Now, first thing, thanks. Not just for suspending digital archery definitively, because that's another point. We may have different opinions, but Chance, thanks a lot for having shown some flexibility in the agenda, in the path, in how this was going. There was a general outcry, perhaps justified, perhaps not. You may have your opinion, but you have reacted to that, and I think this is very good news. It doesn't happen all the time. It happened this time, and I think that you need to be, you and the staff, whoever, individuals, I have a lot of respect for nearly all of you, should be thanked for that. Now, I wouldn't be my usual self if I only thank people and I didn't criticize anything. So let me explain some things that worried me. Let's see how the digital... Let's imagine the digital archery thing was the best thing ever, right? It was like, you know, only second to chocolate in human history. And let's imagine that, you know, we need to approve that. Here's the process, how it was perceived, at least from my window. Oh, we will come with a plan. No, GNSO or policy bodies didn't need to get involved because this is implementation. Three, it's too early for you to comment anything because there is no proposal. Four, it's too late for you to make any comment because we have a resolution from the board. Five, oh, thanks for your comment, but we cannot take them into the consideration. We cannot even read them because this was a staff proposal. I was told that by the board. Six, when I point out that this comes from a board resolution, oh yes, but this came from a staff proposal, so only staff can hear about that, listen about that, and make a new proposal. So perhaps indeed at this point I missed, you know, some bylaw changes, and you also forgot to publish that on the website. But it sounds quite strange. Now, we come here and we see the agenda. Let's imagine that you're a historian 10 years down the road and you look at the Prague meeting. So what was important for ICANN at that time? Well, new GTLDs had exactly 1 hour on Monday and 40 minutes at the end of this thing for discussing something like, you know, digital archery that you would accept. I guess there was some discussion in the community about that. There was no place in the 60 hours of meetings, only 1 and 40 minutes, a split. And at the end, with this famous 2 minute ticker coming up on us, World Planet. This was not exactly transparent. And this was trying not to be accountable to us. It was not allowing us to discuss with you, sending to staff that never responded, not having a public comment, period, and not allowing us to have any comment here in question that. Even worse, on the transparency side, it was suspended last Friday, good news, but for a technical problem that everybody knew from the first day that existed. If you have suspended it today, I guess it's not simply because there was a technical problem. I hope that it's also because you heard the community saying not everybody agrees, and I'm trying to be very polite on the way I'm phrasing that. This is your duty. This is why we want you to act, to react and to listen to the community, not just to hide behind pretexts like some technical problem that I repeat. It was there from the very beginning. Everybody knew that. And our feeling is that has been used as an excuse that damages ICANN reputation. Because all the people that are not here, all our customers that are not DNS people, their reaction was, again, but these people are unable to manage a simple website or a simple process, and they really want to tell us how to manage a domain name? Are they managing this strange thing you call the root? So it doesn't make any good service to ICANN to try to find simple solutions. Telling the truth is more useful. So thanks a lot for changing that, for allowing
lots of dialogue with you on this and any other issue, for being courageous and changing your mind and for suspending things if you feel that at least it's too controversial to go ahead, even if you think it was a good idea. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thanks, Steve. Michaela Nalan, Black Knight, Registrar from Ireland, speaking as Black Knight, not speaking on behalf of any other registrars or any stakeholder groups or councils or anything else. As a registrar at this meeting, it's been quite interesting, I suppose is one way to word it. I mean, we are coming under an immense degree of pressure from various interested parties with respect to the REA negotiations. And it has been good to be able to engage with Benedict and his colleagues within the law enforcement. But it has become quite clear as well that law enforcement have certain requests and are willing to accept variations on things. But it seems that the message coming from ICANN staff is very prescriptive. They want X and Y and Z, whereas law enforcement have said quite to us quite clearly that they're happy to work based on options. Now, it is my understanding, and I could be wrong on this, I mean, this is Stefan and people that are much better at these things than I am, that the ICANN staff acts on instructions from the board, so it would be very helpful that the board provide clear instructions to ICANN staff with respect to the negotiations on the REA as to what exactly you want them to do with the law enforcement recommendations, which, as has been noted, we have reached agreement on 10 out of the 12. On another note, with respect to the privacy issue, I wouldn't see that as being as clear-cut as that, because I'm yet to see anybody from my Data Protection Commissioner or any other Data Protection Commissioner in the European Union, or anywhere else for that matter, engaged here in any dialogue with respect to the REA. And with no disrespect to Benedict or any other law enforcement agent, they are not a Data Protection Commissioner, nor are they qualified to speak to that. They're law enforcement officers, and I would love to work with them, but I think we need to get those people who are expert in that area to the table and at least get their input. Thank you.
Thank you. We're now in getting right up against the time that we're going to close. Let me ask you to keep each of your remarks quite short, and that this is the end of the line, the three of you.
Thank you. My name is Suri. I'm from India. Mr. Ajbani, who had spoken a few minutes earlier, had spoken on the subject of inclusion of new constituencies. There are two comments that I wish to make here for the consumption of the board and the public at large. One, India is a fairly developing country, but still a long way to go. Similarly, there are plenty of other countries which are still in the development phase. Why this is important is, there is inadequate representation of additional constituencies which do not understand today what is happening through ICANN, what are the things that are being taken up by ICANN, what are the technical issues that are being dealt with. There isn't enough knowledge. There isn't enough percolation of knowledge. Consequently, there is a need for ICANN to step forward, reach out, engage, and look for what are the constituencies that are getting missed out and how do those constituencies get represented. This is not just at the level of the public, but also at the level of government. There is I come from a position where I involve and interact with the government, and I find that the knowledge levels at that the government level itself are inadequate. Unless the board takes steps through its various organs and the staff to get that engagement done, I believe that ICANN would be missing out and there would be a lot happening and going towards the ITU. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I also wanted to understand, is there a view that's going to be taken by the board on this?
I'm sorry, is there what?
Would the board be taking a view on the issue of constituencies and additional engagement?
Yeah. Gonzalo. Where's Gonzalo?
Sorry, I was struck for a second.
answer is yes. We are going to engage the community, and we are going to work to do it in the most representative way that we can. We need to set our pace with the staff in order to be productive, but to be honest and to be the most forthcoming with our community. So that's all.
I didn't get the last part.
We are going to work with staff in order to be transparent and forthcoming and to be open with our community in order to engage them in this process.
That wasn't my point about the staff being more transparent. I was saying that there is a tremendous opportunity out there which is getting missed out on account of limited engagement of ICANN, both on the technical areas with the government people, as also the public users of the internet who do not have an understanding of the various policies and decisions that are being taken up by ICANN, the forward-looking moves that we are making out here. And the only way that that is possible is to understand what are the constituencies that are getting missed out, understand that, and then determine, is there a need for greater representation? Because I do not expect ICANN board to engage independently with XYZ, right? You need to understand what these constituencies are and then make a decision that, yes, here is a constituency that requires to be engaged with. It could be one, it could be two. I mean, that decision is off the board.
So, thank you, sir. This we're really a bit afield from the focus on the report that we've made, and we're going to go back into general session. So let me ask you to suspend at this point. We'll take the next question. We'll take a break, and then we'll open up for a broad set of questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Richard Charr with Pool.com. I first of all want to commend the board on having tackled what has been an extremely difficult decision with regards to digital archery. But I'd like to make two observations in a hope of providing you with some direction for your future endeavors. First of all, we know that the number of unique applicants for the program is 1,154. And of those unique applicants, 964 of them applied for one single name. They all should have the same voice as everybody else. I don't think having a voice by sending in an email or making a comment in a forum has the same intensity and alacrity that the voice has of somebody in this room walking up to you in a hallway and having a face-to-face discussion. So I'm not sure that community has been represented in your digital archery decision, and I would hope that as you move forward and decide whatever batching or whatever process you're going to use to decide who actually gets to market first, which is really what this is all about, if you're only going to do 1,000 strings into the root in a particular year, you're going to have to come up with some kind of a process that makes that possible. And I hope that going through that exercise, you will, in fact, have the ability to encourage and allow those people to have their voice heard equally as well. The second point that I wanted to pass along to you is that I think the community, and I didn't hear this in your objectives, is the community wants certainty. We've already seen the rules change halfway through the game with the round robin. We saw the rules change now again halfway through the game with digital archery. Whatever you do next, don't change the rules. Make a decision, stick to it, and do what you need to do.
Thank you. Chris?
Richard? Yes, I thought, sorry. Hello? Sorry, I apologize. Can I just make sure you heard us when we said this, as at least as a starting point, we are going to open an applicant's comment period that will be open to third parties. So I think we are starting along that path of talking to people. Okay?
Thank you.
I'm Lalit Mathur from India. We heard certain news in the media which our community, the internet community, may not exactly have the same view, but I would like to understand from the board what they seek or understand or what the viewpoint is regarding ICANN coming under the aegis of the UN. Thank you.
Somebody want to?
All I can say about that is no.
Thank you. The community, internet community of India supports that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We're going to take a break now. I'd like Devanand Tilak Singh to come up, and we will present a certificate and take pictures. And let's reconvene at 3:45.